Does the Bible teach that Jesus is God? Let's find out today on the Christian Wake Up Call.
Calling all sinners. It's time for your Christian Wake Up Call. Get a dose of biblical Christian truth for today's tough challenges. And now, here's your host, John Davison.
Welcome back to another episode of the Christian Wake Up Call. Hope you're having a wonderful day, and thank you for joining us. Today we're going to talk about, did Jesus, was he really God? Did he say it? Does the Bible say it? What are other people arguing against it about? So we're going to go over some of these arguments and then go into the details of it, what the Bible has to say. So stick around, we'll be right back. Welcome back. I hope you're ready to dig into some of these arguments for Jesus's being non-divine. You know, some of the most common ones is Jesus never claimed to be God, and the Bible doesn't teach Jesus is God, as general arguments. As we're going to see as we go into the other segments, that's just is not true. It becomes very clear, we'll see, that Jesus does claim to be God, and the apostles do believe that. One of the big arguments is that Jesus couldn't be divine also, is God is a singular entity as dictated in the Old Testament. Coming up, there are several scriptures that apply to this. Deuteronomy 4:3-5, you were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord, he is God. There is no other besides him. Even 2 Samuel 7:22, for this reason, you are great, Lord, for there is none like you, and there is no God except you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Even Isaiah 43:10, you are my witness, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me. So, very clear that the Old Testament God is a singular being, but that doesn't exclude the possibility of the Trinity itself and Jesus being one with God, as we'll again see as we later as we dig into some other things. Another common argument, especially from Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus was a created being. And to support this, they choose to use Colossians 1:15, which in their translations is translated slightly differently to support this. Here, mine, it says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That's what Paul said. In their translation, they say the first created of all creation. So there's a slight difference. The terminology from the Greek is a little different, which is why I don't believe that it was first created. And what Paul was really trying to say is, with being the firstborn of all creation, he is the ruler of all creation. So this makes a big difference in how you interpret that statement. And another common argument that people like to use is that Jesus was never considered divine or God until the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD. Again, this is not true and shows an understanding or misunderstanding of what happened in history. The Council of Nicaea was called together to actually debate between the different philosophies and concepts of Jesus to come up to a settlement. The primary group that was supported by most theologians at the time was Jesus was divine going into it, which went against the Arminian, which Jesus was not divine, he was a created being. The Armenian did not get support from the council. So that's where it was settled going forward, primarily, that Jesus was a divine entity. And there would be further discussions upon it, but this just was to support a philosophy or theology that had already existed and was prominent within the church at the time. And as we dig into the scriptures, we will see that it was obvious that the deity of Christ did exist well before the Council of Nicaea, going all the way back to the apostles themselves. And that, as we say, is that for the arguments against Jesus's divinity. I'm sure there are plenty more out there, but I am going to stick with that for now. So we'll be right back. We'll see you in the next segment. Welcome back. We just finished going over the arguments against the divinity of Jesus, or at least some of the most common ones. Now we will dig into the scriptures and show why we believe Jesus is God. And to start with, we're going to go all the way to the very beginning, to Genesis 1:1. And we're going to look at the word for, I'm not going to run through it because I think at this point everybody knows that verse. But the major point in that is the word used for God. And it is the Hebrew Elohim. Elohim is a plural of gods, which is an interesting word to use right off the bat in Genesis, because that's plural gods is also used in a singular context for the statement. So there is a singular plural God, which is an interesting statement right from the beginning, because Hebrew tradition did not hold to a triune God like we do as Christians. But yet the hint of it is right there from the very beginning. So that's one minor case to support the possibility of the Trinity and the triune God, including Jesus as divine, at least from the Old Testament. But let's get a little closer to Jesus' time now. Does the Bible say anything about the apostles or anyone thinking of Jesus as divine? And I'm pretty sure it does. Especially when you look at the Gospel of John, which starts right off the bat. As we can see in John 1 through 3, he's pointing back to Genesis in his statement of the beginning. And it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, not one thing came into creation being that has come into being." Which is interesting, because the Word was with God. They were there together, but they are also God. So it's a singular, but yet also hints at distinct separation between the two. And to continue with that, in John 1:14 through 17, he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and called out, saying, 'This was he whom I said, he who is coming after me has proved to be my superior, because he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, in grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. God, the only Son, who is in the arms of the Father, he has explained him.'" So as we can see, John talks about the Word being Jesus and pointing to him being all the way back at the beginning. Even John the Baptist says the same thing, because Jesus was actually born after John the Baptist. Yet, how can he exist before him if he was not divine? And what of Peter? What did Peter have to say or think on the subject? Let's look at 2 Peter 1:1. "Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours, be the righteous of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ." I don't think it gets much clearer than that. He believed Jesus was our God. Or his brother James. James didn't believe anything about Jesus until after the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to him. But in James 2:1, "My brothers and sisters, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ with an attitude of personal favoritism." When he's saying Lord, he's comparing Jesus with God. That he is God. He is the Lord. Or Paul. Some have said Paul doesn't believe in the divinity of Christ, then others have claimed that he's the initiator of the concept. But if we look at what Paul has to say in Philippians 2:5-8, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Jesus Christ, who, as he already existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a bondservant and being born in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, death on a cross. So he obviously equates God to coming down and becoming a mortal to save us and die on the cross. And to finish this segment, let's not forget about Stephen in Acts 7:59. They went on stoning Stephen as he called out on the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He called to Jesus as his Lord to take his spirit. So we'll let that settle for now and take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to talk about what Jesus had to say on the subject. So stick around. So now that we covered what the writers at least thought on the subject of Jesus' divinity, what did Jesus himself actually have to say? Now, we're not going to find Jesus saying, "I am God," but I think when you look at the scriptures and what he actually has said in the context of the time that he has said it, it's pretty clear without directly saying it himself. Let's start with Matthew 28:19. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And there we see he includes himself as part of the big three, the Trinity, not in those words, but including the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit is part of God, and he includes himself as part of that. Or can we also see that when he says in John 10:30, "I and the Father are one"? That gets pretty clear, I think. Or let's look at back in Matthew 11:27. "All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him." So Jesus is talking about having a direct relationship with God, that they know each other personally, and that the only way for people to know God is to those Jesus reveals him to. And this explanation just serves to create an understandable relationship of who Jesus is in relationship to God. Jesus is notorious for using parables and things that people understand to create that type of dynamic connection to things that they're not capable of understanding at a higher level. So he relates it to things they can understand. And that's what he was doing here. Next, we'll look at John 17:3-5 and what may be Jesus' clearest statement stating his deityship, his divineness, where Jesus says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth by accomplishing the work which you have given me to do. And now you, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world existed." Right there, Jesus flat out says, "I was there in the beginning," coinciding with John's very beginning statement with, "In the beginning was the Word." There are a few other verses in Matthew that seem to point to Jesus' divine nature. Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" This was nothing that has ever been done or given to like any of the prophets or even Moses himself. And then in Matthew 26:64, Jesus said to him, "You have said to yourself, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Basically stating that he's going to be sitting with God. Also, this points back to the Messiah prophecies in Daniel, where he refers to the Son of Man ruling forever. So there's just some of the cases where he is either hinted at or directly said that he was divine and of God. There's also a couple cases where if you look at the Jewish leaders and their responses show back in that time that what Jesus has said or done basically is Jesus saying that he is God. One of these cases is in Mark 2:5-7. "And Jesus, seeing their face, said to the paralyzed man, 'Son, your sins are forgiven.' But some of the scribes were sitting there and thinking over it in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak this way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins except for God alone?'" Or also in Mark 14:61-64. "But he kept silent. It did not offer any answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him and said to him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said, "I am, and you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming with clouds of heaven." Tearing his clothes, the priest said, "What further need do we have for witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. How does it seem to you?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. So it was obvious that in Jesus' statements and responses to the Sadducees, Pharisees, the scribes, they all took what he was saying as meaning that he was God, because only God could do such things. So I think that shows that Jesus in many ways pointed to that he was God. Looking at the scriptures, his quotes, things he said, the evidence from those who wrote the scriptures as a testimony, it's easy to see that Jesus truly was God. So that concludes the last segment. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with the closing. Stay tuned. So I think it's clear to see that Jesus truly was God. Not only did his apostles believe it, but he also believed it and confessed it. Did he say, "I am God"? No. But the words that he chose, the actions that he's taken, clearly mean that he believed he was God. So I hope that helped you understand and can kind of address those arguments that I gave at the beginning and potentially other ones. I hope you really enjoyed the show. You'll be back next week. If you did enjoy the show, I'd appreciate it if you subscribe, like, share, and review. Next week, we'll be talking and going over the fruits of the Spirit, what they are, and why they are important. So we look forward to resuming with you next week. And remember always, live for your Lord.